This is Hannah.
This is Rachel.
And this is
What I'd Like to Tell People.
Have you been feeling curious about connecting with your spiritual side? Are you having difficulty trusting your intuition? It could be time to test your skepticism and meet with a spiritual medium. Three-Eyed Bob offers personalized, intuitive readings to help you better understand your journey and identify the unseen forces assisting you along the way. As featured on our first episode of this season, Three-Eyed Bob provides a fresh approach to mediumship that focuses on identifying realistic connections to your current life circumstances. Check out threeeyedbob.com for more information about services offered and to book your virtual reading session today. That's threeeyedbob.com, found in our episode notes. Hi, Rachel.
Oh, hello, Hannah.
How was your week?
It was good. It was a beautiful week, actually, right? Like, what a great week. I walked a lot and got outside. It was just a really nice week, and it was a really weird week, actually. Like, it was just one thing after the other, but the weather saved it. My car was dead on Tuesday.
Oh, my God. Battery?
Yeah, so I was already ready for work. I was so excited because I was going to get there on time. I mean, I get there on time always, but not for, like, the meetings. They already know this. It's fine. Okay, anyways, so I get there, I'm like so excited, and I get to my car, it's dead, but thankfully I had a battery thing, so I didn't need anyone's battery at all, so I already had a pack, and that was good, but I didn't know how to use it at first, so that took forever, and then I got there, and then the garage didn't tell me that they were full, except I made a reservation the night before. And then all the lady said was, oh, well, take it up with Spot Hero. So I had to leave and find another parking thing. Somehow I was on time to my post. But before that, and I just was being, it was just some weird stuff at work. So then it worked out, though, in the end, because it was a beautiful day out, so I got to walk and just do stuff. So even though it was not the greatest morning, it turned out to be a beautiful day, and I got to see my one nice coworker, so it turned out okay. How was your week?
It was good. I went home to celebrate my dad's 66th birthday, which was on St. Patrick's Day. And it was fun being with family, and the weather was really nice. I feel like it kind of got a little chilly and it was a little rainy, but all in all, it was like good. And I'm getting ready to, my dad has storage buildings, and sometimes it comes in handy when he has a bunch of other people's junk on hand, because I'm getting ready to work on a moss wall. And so I'm going to take like preserved reindeer moss and kind of create it. So they have like different colors. So they have like dark green, light green, white, purple. So I'm going to do like a bunch of and do like a different design. And I wanted a really big frame, and frames are super expensive. And I wanted one, like the frame I have is like 3 feet by 2.5 feet, I think. So it's pretty big. It's going to take up like the one section of my wall. And so we went to his office where he has some stuff, because he like always has these garage sales where if you don't pay your rent after like 2 months, you get kicked out, and like we take ownership of the stuff. But he usually gives people more than that, but that's in the lease. So he like ends up trying to sell some stuff to just make some money, which mostly goes to other people. But anywho, and so he is a hoarder, and it's really bad that he's a hoarder because he has so many places to be a hoarder. But it came in handy. He had a couple big frames that were mostly like mirrors, but I just needed the wooden frame. Like, right. I don't need it to have glass. So I found one, and I'm going to like paint it. So I'm really excited to like see, because I've been wanting to do this for months, and they're super expensive if you try to find a framed moss thing. And I was like, I think I can make that. I think it'll be great in my plant room. And so that is my like project over the next few weeks because I think it's going to take me a really long time to get it to be, because I'm going to have to put a lot of moss on it and do a lot of different things, because then I first have to like paint the frame and do all kinds of stuff. But it's my like spring project and I'm so excited for this warmer weather and longer day, you know, daylights and, or, you know, and all kinds of stuff. But anyway, so this episode was with Scott Briscoe, and I also saw his house, you know, over the weekend, because as he mentioned in the interview, you can like see my parents' house from his house. So I waved to him. I don't know if he waved back, but I did, you know, when I was like behind the storage buildings getting my frame, waved to him. But this is a really, you know, like awesome episode. He is an adoption lawyer, and he kind of goes into that and fostering, and it's just really interesting.
Enjoy.
Hello, everyone. We are here with Scott Briscoe, who writes Funny Law Tips. He's an adoption attorney, and he's also my parents' neighbor, so in West Virginia. So all kinds of things, and I'm excited to talk to you. My mom actually suggested you, by the way, and she listened. She always tells me, like, who I should interview because she's an avid listener, like, who she wants to hear. And she's like, what about Scott? So that's why, like, I reached out.
Well, she's very handy to have around. Thanks for having me. This is fun.
Yeah. She's like a agent, I guess, maybe. I don't know if that would be the right word.
She also makes a great taco salad.
Yes. Yeah. Before we hit record, he was talking about my mom's famous taco salad, which a lot of people end up, like, they really like it and they end up making it. And
I have the recipe.
Yeah, it's really good. And it's simple, too. It's really not that complicated.
Surprisingly, but delicious.
Yeah. No, it's really good. So do you want to kind of talk about like adoption? And I know you're a part of a new thing, like the Adoption Brothers with his name is Robert online, but you call him Bob. Is that
Bob,
right?
Bob Noon. That's right. Yeah. After 25 years of serving on the court appointed list here in Boone County, I've served as a public defender and as a guardian ad litem for the children of Boone County. And Bob offered me a position with his firm, which concentrates mainly on adoptions, or only on adoptions. That's all he does. So after 25 years, I was getting kind of burnt out, because it's you wallow in a lot of misery when you do child abuse neglect cases. So this was an amazing opportunity for me to move on to the next step in my career. And I've been on board with him now for 2 weeks. And in that 2 weeks, I've been in roughly seven or eight different counties. I've seen about a dozen kids adopted in the last 2 weeks. This is the exact opposite of what my practice has been for 25 years. I'm used to having the tears of misery and agony for these kids. And instead, for the last 2 weeks, it's just been tears of joy every day. It's my dream job. Yeah.
How did you get started with adoption, or is it just kind of fell naturally with what you were doing?
This, I love to tell this story. I was right out of law school, and I was working for the law firm Schaefer & Schaefer in Madison, right out of law school. And I was paired up with Jim McCallum, one of the partners, and he was the one that gave me my assignments. And he handled the adoptions that the firm did at the time. And he had some other obligation. And he goes, Scott, here, I want you to handle this adoption for me. And I'd never thought about or considered adoption law, never took a class on it in law school. But he handed me the file, and I was like, all right, I'll run with this. And over the course of several months, the children had to live in a home for 6 months with the adoptive parents before you can have the adoption hearing. And they had not been in the home that long. So I got to go over to the home several times and visit the kids, play with them. They were all ages roughly 7 to 12. Four of them. And over the course of that time, you know, I'd ask them, what's your favorite color? What's your favorite game? What do you like to do for fun? And they were asking me the same questions. So they got to know me, and I got to know them. So the day of the adoption finally came around. And prior to this, all I had done mainly in court was just the criminal stuff. So I was used to being there with a client that's shackled, not in a pleasant mood to be there. The judge isn't necessarily happy to see a convict, you know, in front of them. So I was surprised it was refreshing to show up in court with four little clients dressed up like they were going to Sunday school, with parents who brought their cameras, and the judge was all smiles. He was glowing, and this was such a happy occasion. And you never, as an attorney, get to have those types of moments in court when you deal with child abuse, neglect, and criminal defense. So this was just a fun occasion. And so we have the hearing, and I put on the evidence, and at the end, the judge says, and hereby, after today, you shall be known as, and he gives each of the four kids their new names. And the oldest one, the little boy, he was 12, and he was sitting on my right. And I look over, and his hands are just shaking, and there's just little tears running down his cheeks. And I thought he was upset. And I said, "Are you okay, little buddy? What's going on?" And he blurbs out between tears, "I'm happy." That was just, yeah, I'd never seen a child show such tears of joy and open emotion like that. And it broke my heart into a million pieces. And I thought, I've never seen anything in court like this. Such a great opportunity to be a part of something so amazing and so wonderful. So after the hearing, I've kept in touch with that family. And one of the little girls, she's now grown up. She has a couple kids. One of them she named Scott. And she calls me every year on my birthday and serenades to me and sings. Because they all took down notes on me. They figured out when was my birthday, what was my favorite food, what was my favorite color. So as a matter of fact, that first year after the adoption, Christmas rolled around, and I was still at Schaefer & Schaefer, and the secretary, Betty, came into the office and said, "Scott, there's a call on 911, but you just need to hit speakerphone." And I thought it was my mom just calling to wish me a happy birthday. So I hit the speakerphone and said, "This is Scott." And it was these four little kids. They were little at the time. Oh. And they all just broke out into singing happy birthday to me. So I'd never had a criminal client do that either.
So, it would have been funny though if it did.
Yeah.
Creeped
and
out.
Any of my criminal clients that are out there, if you are listening, you are welcome to call and serenade me.
Just don't. So what kind of tell crime them where did you live? Do?
What kind of crime did I defend as a lawyer? Oh, do you mean?
Yes, not do. I'm sorry. Yes, wrong word.
Yeah, like what? When did you first start? Yeah, like what type? Yeah.
When you started becoming a criminal.
Yeah.
What was my first felony? When did you decide to become a criminal and become a lawyer all at once?
I guess you could have become a lawyer in prison. But
yes,
anyway,
right? Yes. So,
of them do start to study law in prison anyway.
Yes. A lot of people that are in prison have nothing but time to do research. But
the good news is a lot of them get out. Well,
they do eventually. Most people. Eventually you get out. When I first started, I thought, okay, I'm sure the judge is going to throw a DUI at me or an assault or battery to get my legal career started. But my very first appointment right out of the gate from Judge Slagle was a man charged with 99 counts of rape. And the victims were his four stepdaughters. And three of them he had impregnated. So the DNA had already shown that before they were even of age, that he had had sex with them and gotten them all pregnant. And I'm thinking, this isn't a DUI. This is this is a little bit more than what I anticipated right out of law school. And it was high profile. It was in the papers. It was on the news every night. And I was actually prepped for trial. And the judge had even ordered him to not even be in the state of West Virginia unless he was in to meet with me and prepare for trial. He banned him from the state. From the state, which you really can't do, but he did. But anyway, weeks and weeks of prep for this trial on 99 counts of rape. And I show up the day of the trial with my co-counsel, and I have my investigator there, and we're ready to pick a jury, and the TV cameras, they were all there, and my client didn't show up. He just took off and went on the lam for roughly about 20 years before they finally caught him out in.
That's a long time.
Yeah, I think it was in Red Key, Indiana, was where they found him. And so he eventually ended up going to trial, but he had to have a new attorney because he said, "Well, Scott Briscoe told me I should just run," which I didn't do for the record, but that was what he said. "My lawyers told me I should just run." So I ended up having to be a witness at his trial. Yeah. So the next thing I know, I'm under oath. "Mr. Briscoe, did you tell him to leave the state and run?" No. But he was actually in that trial with his new lawyer, convicted on all 99 counts. And then he went to prison and he died not long after that. But yeah, I've had the rape cases. I've had the murder cases. I had two murder cases in my career. So I've had the worst of the worst. So to jump over to doing adoptions is, I can't believe how lucky I am right now.
Was it like hard to defend someone when you know that they're guilty?
This is the common question I got, especially with the two murder cases I had and with the rape case. And the way that I look at it in those types of situations, I'm there to make sure that they get a fair trial. I don't necessarily have to like them or approve what they did, but my job is to make sure that they're not going to be convicted on a coerced confession or some type of illegal or planted evidence. So,
right. Yeah.
Even though I don't approve with
their... Something silly that's like there that right. they could so, try to get them on.
Right, because it does happen. There have been plenty of innocent people convicted of crimes throughout the decades, and you've seen it on television where they spent 30 and 40 years until the DNA finally caught up to where they could go back and test cold cases, and then they're finding out we convicted the wrong guy. Yeah.
I think that's why there's so many like criminal podcasts and things like that, because there's so many of people that aren't guilty that are sitting in prison. And
they each have their own amazing story to tell. Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine being locked in prison, like knowing that I'm not guilty and that the person that is just living a free life.
Right. I can't think of a more maddening torture or tortured existence.
Yeah, no one believing you or anything.
Right.
There was this one person that had like the guy ended up being they finally got him exonerated, but then he got the other guy ended up dying. So then he couldn't get out of jail still, even though they could have got him exonerated. So then the bad guy, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. And then he got screwed in the end anyways. So the innocent man still has to stay in prison, unfortunately, the rest of his life because.
Yeah. That's horrific. It's horrific.
It is. It's a horrific thing.
Yeah. So how did you start your law tips?
Okay, this was about, 8 years ago. It was 2014. And all of a sudden, in all of my I defended juveniles as well as did the child abuse neglect cases. And all of a sudden, Facebook starts creeping into all of my cases because my client would say, well, I never did that. And then the prosecutor just presses a button and goes click and prints off their Facebook confessions, basically. So the very first tip I posted, it was these three teenage girls, and they posted on Facebook, check us out, we're having a blast, we're committing trespassing, destruction of property, and arson. Well, they had found a trailer up what we here in West Virginia call a holler. It looks like hollow if you say it properly, but nevertheless, they went in and partied in this trailer that no one was living in at the time. And they posted all of these, we're committing this crime and that crime. Well, sure enough, that trailer belonged to someone who called the law. And there's girls setting fire in my trailer. So the three girls got picked up and they were charged with exactly what they went on Facebook and bragged that they were going to do. They made it so easy. They confessed and put it out there publicly. These are the crimes we're going to commit. And here are the pictures of us doing that. So this had happened a few times where I've had kids doing stuff like that. So this time I thought, I'm just going to go on Facebook and just do it real quick. Don't post your stupid crimes and confessions on Facebook.
Right. Why?
So,
your confession. Nothing in writing. Nothing in writing. Don't do
never.
It.
Never. Especially pictures. Never.
Exactly. So your
post A, B, and C are going to be state's exhibits. 1, 2, and 3. You make it that easy for them. So that's the very first tip I did.
And time stamped, right? Like they have it time stamped.
Yes.
Too.
It's dated and stamped. It could be like geographically located right there where they were. So it makes the prosecutor's job so much easier. So,
you're like, this is great. I don't have to do any more work. Look at all these dates.
Yeah. If you're the prosecutor, but as the defense counsel, that put more work on me because I had to disprove what's right there in living color all over Facebook. And the things that my kids and their family would post. I had a teenage girl who, without telling you what the charges were against her, she ended up on home confinement here in Madison, West Virginia. Home confinement means you have an ankle bracelet on. You can't leave the house. Your home confinement officer knows where you are at all times. Well, this teenage girl, somehow she got the bracelet off, and her mother posted, "Look at my sweet baby. She just came in second place in a booty shaking contest at spring break," and posted pictures of the girl that's supposed to be on home confinement shaking her booty at spring break, which my response was, maybe if she's won first place, you should brag, but not on second place. Don't blow her cover.
But I just don't understand, like, how this person got through life. I don't understand, like, why you would be that silly and do that. Like, your daughter is going to.
That's everyone on my list.
I think people don't think everyone can see it. They're like, oh, just my friends.
I don't. But I'm thinking as a person, though, in general, I wouldn't be even posting if I know my daughter is having.
I can give you an example. Another one was a woman on home confinement that took pictures of her in a tanning bed. Well, she doesn't own a tanning bed, so it's pretty obvious to her home confinement officer. You know, she doesn't have a tanning bed in her house. She's not home.
You don't know that. Who knows?
She tags Video World, and I forget what the sun tanning place is called. The Tanning World, maybe.
Something like that, yeah.
That was in our hometown. We didn't have Blockbuster. Video World.
We had Video World. That's right. That's right.
That's cute. Yeah. I like the name.
Yeah. And then they had a tanning place too, so you could rent your video and get your tan.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Yeah. All in one.
Yeah. They were right next to Schaefer and Schaefer, the law firm I was telling you about earlier. Oh. Yeah.
So if you have problems, then you go there afterwards.
Yeah, exactly.
When did you start your own practice? Because I remember, because your family, well, I guess, I don't know if you want to bring it, but your family used to own Dairy Queen. And I can remember that your office was across from Dairy Queen. And everyone said that was like the old Dairy Queen.
Exactly right. And it's still a hot dog and ice cream stand today.
Yeah, Cabo's.
Called Cabo's, yeah. Exactly. Well, I graduated from the West Virginia College of Law in 97. And I went to work for the law firm of Schaefer & Schaefer in Madison. So I was with them from 97 until October 31st of 2000 is the day that I opened up my own shingle and decided I was going to be a solo practitioner, and I hired a secretary. And then boom, I was full-time guardian ad litem and counsel for the juveniles in the county, and then running the Dairy Queen. I bought the Dairy Queen for my grandmother before she passed away. So I owned it for roughly about a decade there.
I can kind of remember you being in there, like when I was younger, like kind of walking across.
You're just a baby.
Yeah. Well, I will tell you, I was in first grade in 97.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember you back then.
Yes. I love that Dairy Queen, though. I miss it. Like,
I love Dairy Queen.
You guys always had, which I guess it was probably you, had like the Mrs. and the Santa Claus, the Mrs. Claus and Santa. And they had like a list of who was naughty or nice. And I'd always try to find my name.
Yeah. Mom used to always go overboard.
Would try to find her name.
Yeah. I was always on the nice list. I feel like my brother may have been on the nutty. Did she just write random names on the...
Oh, no. She would always try to... It was a joke with who made the naughty list. Yeah, and who made the nice list. So it was customers. It was employees. It was family. Oh. So that's
why my name was on it. It was because we were there. So she... Yeah. But I feel like it made you feel special as a kid. Cute. Like, you find your name. Yeah. And you're like, my gosh. And I still remember it.
We were definitely very involved in the community, the Dairy Queen, definitely.
Yeah, I miss it. It's very sad that it's gone, but
hey, you can get gas at the Kroger gas pumps there now.
Yeah, and it was a Mexican restaurant for a little bit too. Like,
then another Mexican restaurant. I think it was a couple Mexican restaurants before it finally got crushed down to the dirt.
Yeah. I was always also speaking of Dairy Queen. I don't know why, but I love going through the drive through because you guys had like those little itty bitty windows. And I just thought that was like so cool. Yeah, I don't know why. But anyway, yeah. I was just like, I'm going to work here. I didn't, but I was like thinking. But anyway, going back to your law tips. So you started posting them and then they just became like a big, I feel like they're really funny.
The first two or three I posted, and then all of a sudden, my other buddies in court, hey, Scott, did you see what happened in magistrate court today? Or the judge, Scott, you won't believe what this client said. Or a police officer. Everyone wanted to bring me a tip. And so eventually some of my friends were like, would you mind putting all these tips somewhere together rather than all over your own Facebook page so we can see them all as like a set? So that's how I started the Facebook page with just the tips. And then the next thing I know, it went viral and I was in the UK Daily Mail, the Huffington Post, Board Panda, Post Eyes, George Takei's website. There's dozens of worldwide websites that I went on. And then my personal page blew up with people wanting legal advice from around the world. I had That's people awesome. From Africa asking me for landlord-tenant law, people in France. So it kind of went in a weird direction, but it was fun.
Did you look up their laws? Did you give them advice?
No, I said, I'm just a little West Virginia lawyer and I can't deal with those issues, but thanks for reaching out.
Thanks for making me feel amazing. That's really cool though.
Oh, it was fun. It was my 15 minutes of fame. So the tips gathered. And I have over 100 of them now and they're all true. And they've all been challenged. If you read the comments on the page, you've made that up. You're just BSing us. But all of these tips can be backed up by a magistrate, a judge, a bailiff, a court reporter, all the secretaries of staff, probation officers in the courthouse. All of these crazy, absurd things have happened. One of the funniest, it's kind of gross, but still and bizarre, but it was the one where everyone in the courtroom lost their composure. Because normally, if you're there every day, the judge, the bailiff, the court reporter, the prosecutor, and I, you get a good poker face because you've heard everything until this one day.
And I'm sure in Boone County.
Yes. I have represented most of the whites, Mamie and all of the gang. But this mm-hmm. one day, this poor little boy, I would say he was about 11 or 12 years old, and he lived... Here we go with that word again, holler. He lived up a holler that was up another holler that was up another holler where a school bus didn't go. So he naturally became very truant. And he and his family lived kind of off the grid and under the radar and were not very well socialized. And so they pick him up and bring him to court and bring him to me. They appoint me to him. This is your lawyer, Scott. So I'm standing there in front of Judge Slagle with this kid, and the judge says, let me make sure I word this right. Son, I'm going to give you this cup, and you're going to go in that bathroom, and you're going to give me a sample. Now, is there going to be anything in it? And the kid just kind of hung his head for a minute, and he thought, and he just looks up at the judge and goes, well, maybe some corn. And then there's a long pause for the rest of us all to figure out, oh, he was going to go drop a deuce in the cup. He didn't even know to. He was so removed from society, he didn't even know how a drug screen worked. So rather than pee in the cup, he was leaving a different kind of sample. And thank God the judge asked him, will there be anything in it, meaning drugs. But the kid was just very innocent and naive, and there might be some corn in there, judge. The court reporter, the bailiff, the judge, we all just, all of our jaws just dropped and we started laughing. We couldn't help it because it was so unexpected and so out there and bizarre. But that's just a sample of one of the many. Yes. Crazy things you'll see. So that led to, I've got like over 120 tips now, and I have a publisher, Headline Books, and they've all been collected and been illustrated. And I have the cover and everything ready to go, and it's been sent to the publisher for a final polishing, so it should be coming out this fall.
That's so exciting. Congrats.
Thank you. The title of the book is going to be Free Legal Tips by Scott Briscoe. And the fun thing is they're going to be acted out by two little animated characters, Donnie Ray and Brenda. My illustrator, Jeff Pearson, came up with the idea to protect the guilty, basically. You're going to see the same guy and the same girl acting out all the tips. Little character.
So is it free though if they have to buy the book?
Well, I took the free out of the title. It just says, oh, did I say free? No, I think it's 101. I misspoke about my own title. See, that's how familiar I am with my own book. It's not free. It is 101 Legal Tips by Scott Briscoe.
Okay. As I'll say, it's no longer free if you have to buy the book.
That's true. Which most of it's for free. It's on the Facebook page anyway, but this is the book with all of the illustrations and You get to see me on the cover. So that's, yeah,
it's more fun. And
something that I can autograph and give out to all of my friends, and mom can buy 30 copies.
And I want to buy one too.
Oh, you got it. You got it.
Yeah. That's really exciting. We'll have to like post when you publish.
I'll come back around for my second interview on the book tour.
I was about to ask. We should just have him back around again.
Yeah. Do you think you'll have another book, or do you think you'll be like one and done?
We'll see where this one goes. I've had so many different life experiences. I feel like I could write a book about growing up in the Dairy Queen. I feel like I could write a book about my experiences being raised in a Christian school, or representing Mamie and the Whites. So I've got a lot of material to work with. Just like this legal tips book, I feel like it's great material.
Do you
for
have
new...
it beside you? Can we see it?
Well, I don't have the... No, I have just my tips all gathered together like this. No illustrations, just the pictures that I posted on the Facebook page to begin with. So, sorry, no sneak peek yet.
Oh, darn. I was excited. Yeah.
Darn. Sorry, but soon. Yeah.
How did you find your illustrator?
I'm sure you know who Landell Murphy Jr. is. He won America's Talent, and he's from Logan.
I actually sat beside him on a plane once and have my picture with him and stuff and talked to his ex-wife. But...
He's such a great dude. He's so down to earth.
And tall.
Very tall. And he will let anyone interrupt him for pictures or talk. He will talk to everyone. Aww. So awesome guy. Well, anyway, his manager is Burke Allen. Yeah. And Burke Allen is good friends with Bob Noon, the lawyer I work with now. So Bob was like, Scott, I got to introduce you to my buddy Burke, because I think he could help you out and get your tips put together as a book. So Burke has been very instrumental in helping me get everything formatted. And I went online and I looked for an illustrator myself, but Bert finally suggested Jeff, and his imagery is spot on. And it, he does a great job of getting the story out there without even having to read my tip. You can see in his animated, in his cartoon, basically, you know, what some Warren did.
You could one day do like a cartoon, like YouTube videos or something too with those, and like actually animate.
That would be really cool.
This would be great material for an Adult Swim, I believe.
Oh yeah.
But you'll have to pitch it to them.
Yeah.
They do those little Quiblies now, if you've ever heard of those shows. They do those those 5-minute ones, and like you could go through a season. That would be cool for yours too.
Oh, I can make each one of these tips a little vignette. Yeah. Totally. Like a little SNL sketch.
Yeah, that would be fun, because I love watching those. Those are really good for some reason. Be good with yours.
Yeah. Any other crazy stories you want to share?
Let's see. Some crazy ones. I had one kid that got caught. His parents turned him in because he stole some sex toys. The weird part was they were his mom and dad's sex toys. So They turned him in. Yeah.
How awkward.
Exactly.
Were they at least clean?
I didn't inspect them myself personally, but even if they were, no. Some things
that's just weird.
No.
it's even weirder that they turned him in. It's not like he went to a sex store. Like they went in their bedroom and like
they were very nonchalant.
Exactly,
with the prosecutor.
That's what I wanted. Yeah, like why?
Why would you put that on record? You know, like why would you? Can't you handle that in your home?
I understand if you were like stealing, like Hannah and I thought, and that's what I thought at first until you said. And they turned their own son in.
Yeah, for stealing their sex toys. Some things just should be kept at home behind closed doors, but they were upset because he stole their toys, and I didn't know who to be more concerned for, him or his parents.
I can't believe they paid, right? Because would they have to pay for a lawyer for that?
Well, no, because he was prosecuted. They had him prosecuted as a juvenile.
Fucked up, so you're going against your own son. Excuse my language, but seriously,
I had another one where a kid, it was Christmas, and he got mad at mom, so he chucked the Christmas ham out through the living room window. She called the law on him. He got picked up for destruction of property. I had to defend him for destroying the Christmas ham. I guess it was just a slow day.
Like, you can't make this up. Like, it's just
you cannot.
Insane.
And I can give you the secretary and the magistrate's number to confirm all of these crazy cases that I have been appointed to.
Have you talked to, like, other? Like,
I swear it's like you. Either the parents are just done. They're like, we're done. That's it. Or it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you talked to other lawyers, like, outside of this area to see if they have just as crazy things? Or
it's fun to read the thousands of comments on my Facebook page. All of the comments are by other attorneys, probation officers, corrections officers, judges, law students, and they're all chiming in with their own personal stories. And again, since I went viral and the page became so popular, everyone here locally runs to me if I'm not in the courtroom when something happens. Like, for example, my friend Jennifer Anderson, she was a prosecutor, and one day I was not in the courtroom.
Not to be confused with the friend.
Anna Stun. No.
This is okay.
Yeah. Anderson. Yeah.
Oh, Anderson. I thought you said Aniston. I was like, oh, there's another one. Okay.
That's
sorry,
just my Boone County hick accent coming through. But nevertheless, Jennifer, she was so excited to tell me that when they bring the inmates in and they have like a dozen of them, they'll bring them in, and for security purposes, they put them all in the jury box in one secure spot where the bailiff can just stand there and watch all 12 of them while they wait for their turn for their hearing. Well, one of them, his wife showed up, and Jennifer noticed that she made a point to walk all the way across the courtroom to right in front of the jury box and sit as close as possible to her husband. So Jennifer was just kind of naturally suspicious and kept watching. And as soon as the wife thought that the judge and the bailiff turned their head, woo, it was a free booby show. She starts raising up her shirt and her bra to show her husband her chest, her bare chest. So it was the second time, I think, that she did it, that the judge or the bailiff or both of them happened to turn around and catch her. So she ended up in the holding cell very, very quickly. Yeah.
What was the purpose of it? Just because he had been put away?
I guess because he had not seen them in a very long time, and she just wanted to be there.
It makes sense. Yeah,
can you not send pictures? Like, like
they aren't same, apparently.
You know what? I don't think the jail would let them send nudie pictures in. I've never seen that. Now I want to call my friend Erica at the jail and ask her.
Because, like, that kind of sucks. I mean, I understand why if you do have, like, a fudged up humans, maybe. I don't know. But it's better than having a lady.
But to flash him in the open courtroom?
Yeah. Right. Like,
that's what I mean. That's why I think it's better to have the nudie pictures than have that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's people are crazy. I mean, my dad owns, you know, storage units. So it's like what people store is like unbelievable. So, and like what they take pictures of and store. And that's where I learned, like, before social media, my dad was like, if you don't want anybody to see, you don't take a picture of it, because people store those in their storage and then we see them.
Yes. That goes back to my free legal tip number one. Don't take pictures or post any of your criminal or stupid activities. Just don't do it. And I've repeated that at least 3 times throughout my page, because no one's listening.
Yeah, and don't store it either and then not pay your bill, because other people are going to see that. And
exactly.
My dad's very nosy and goes through it. So
Sure.
Would be too, though. Like, geez.
Yeah, and if there's like a CD-ROM, maybe not now, but back in the day, like, he'd put it in his computer. Sometimes very regretful that he did that.
Yeah.
But
you'll see some images you'll never get out of your head.
And people store their drugs, but like they store like evidence.
Can you turn them in then at that point?
I mean,
it's not hit their property anymore because they didn't pay.
Probably, but it's like also, I don't know if you could prove.
It'd be difficult. I mean, you could tie them through with the chain of custody with the paper, but I don't know unless it would be a substantial stash. Like, if you're talking about a bag of
weed. Mostly it's just like evidence, like burnt spoon, like bent back spoons and like.
Oh, yeah, the evidence. I was talking about like maybe more.
I don't. No one's storing their coke.
Like a bag of cocaine. Yeah.
Yeah, they're not doing that. It's just
their dirty bongs and needles and. Yeah.
Fine. You never know.
And they do sex toys too. A lot of sex toys. It's a lot of stuff that I'm like, why are they thinking they're going to go back to this?
Like, yeah. I mean, at least their parents didn't turn them in though.
Yeah. Maybe if those parents had had a storage unit, they wouldn't have had their son stealing.
See, I recommend that everyone go to Vickers U-Haul.
Yeah, A&H Storage. Yes.
Put your sex toys there. Wait.
Yes, it stands for Adam and Hannah Storage. So
as soon as you said that, I knew that. Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, don't you drive by it every day?
A million times a day. I do. I wave at your Uncle Mark because he's always out there.
Yeah. That's yeah, funny. With his shirt off, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, it was day before yesterday. It was like 70 degrees, wasn't it? Friday.
Yeah. Yeah, that's him. He won Mr. Physique in high school, and I think he just thinks that has continued.
Yeah.
That title just stays.
I wish I had his confidence.
Right, yeah. I mean, once you hold that title, you always hold that title. So,
right,
you
know, right.
No one can tell him different. Rachel, have people been ordering our shirts lately?
Yes, they have been.
If they've not already ordered a t-shirt, they need to go to our website at www.whatidliketotellpeople.com right now.
They can even receive 15% off by using our listener code telling people found in our episode notes.
And if they already have our t-shirt, they should go and post a picture and hashtag what I'd like to tell people.
Scott, what would you like to tell people?
This is what I want people to know. If you're thinking about becoming a foster parent, you should know what fostering means first. Most people think the route to adoption is to become a foster parent. And this is inaccurate and incorrect. If you are going to be a foster parent, the entire point of the foster system is to give a child or children someplace to live temporarily until their parents can fix whatever the issues are. If it's a drug addiction, if it's mental illness, if it's something as simple as hygiene issues, whatever it is, the law provides that we're going to try the court system collectively throughout the guardian ad litem, the prosecutor, CPS. We are all going to try, first of all, to fix what's broken, if it can be. You have a duty under the law to exhaust every remedy in the state of West Virginia to try to help these poor souls that through the opioid epidemic lost their way or got with the wrong crowd and fell into some poor circumstances. So in all of these abuse neglect cases, our goal isn't to kidnap kids, to take kids away from their family. The first thing that we always want to do is try to fix it if we can. And not all families are fixable. They're just not. But the whole point is, if you're going to be a foster parent, go into it knowing I may have a small child or even a teenager placed with me who has gone through some severe trauma, is going to have some issues, and I may get deeply attached to them. But the goal here is to get this little damaged child back to his mother and father that he loves dearly. And so many times I've seen foster parents get so upset and try to cause more problems when we did fix some of these families. And this is in a minority of the cases, unfortunately, where we have success, where we get parents to go through rehab or family treatment court or long patient rehab or through a stay at River Park or Mitchell Bateman Hospital or go through domestic violence training or whatever it is. There are parents out there that can overcome these issues and get their children back. And that's what we always try to promote. But some people go into the foster care system thinking, once I get this kid, it's mine and I don't have to give it back. And I've seen foster parents hire lawyers to try to fight to keep the children, even though mom and dad, within the time frame allowed by the law, did a 180, got their act together, got clean, got a home, got sober, got a job. And the kids wanted to go back, but the foster parents were so, they had such tunnel vision on, this is my kid and I'm going to do what's in my best interest. But we're not here to do what's in the foster parents' best interest. We're here to do what's in the children's best interest. And again, we try in every case to try to fix it and put them back together. Some cases, unfortunately, you know, right from the get-go, no, this cannot be repaired. And I'm thinking of the worst example of like incest. If something like that would happen, obviously you're never going to see me as a guardian say, put that child back in. No guardian ad litem would ever say, put that child back in that home. So in that circumstance, that's where the foster parents may keep that child and end up adopting. And again, there are significant numbers of people that do adopt through the foster care system. And that's, again, when these families cannot overcome their addiction or whatever it is in the time frame allowed. But I just want the general public to know that foster care is temporary. It's not where you go to adopt a child or go with the thought of, I'm going to have a family of my own. Because a foster parent, and these are amazing people with strong hearts to be able to take these kids in and give them home and love them as if they were your own child, and then acknowledge, okay, their biological family got their act together, they're better off, they need to go back to mom and dad. Those are some amazing people. And I've met some wonderful, unforgettable foster parents in my lifetime. It's just, they will always put others before themselves. And I want to prevent any foster parent from going down that road of, if I do the training and get in this and I get a kid, it's mine for good. I've seen too many hearts broken when there was reunification. But unfortunately, that's in the child's best interest, and I represent the child, not the foster parent. And sometimes they are left out in the dark. They don't have an attorney. They don't have anyone telling them how the court system works. So I know they get shortchanged sometimes, but I'm trying not to discourage anyone from becoming a foster parent, because we have a severe shortage of foster parents and too many kids having to live in shelters right now because we don't have foster homes. But just like you asked me, what do I want people to know is we need foster parents, and I would encourage people to become a foster parent, but realize you're doing this as a temporary means to help fix a family. It's not meant to be as a vehicle to adopt your own child. That's what I want people to know.
What process should people go through if they want to adopt?
There are many agencies out there in the state of West Virginia, like the Children's Home Society, Blueprints, KVC, NECO. These are just some of the adoption agencies in the state that work with kids who are eligible to be adopted. Or another great resource in the first place anyone should go if they are interested in adopting a child here in West Virginia is to go to the West Virginia Department of Health and Human Resources Adopt a Child webpage. If you just type in WVDHR and adopt a child, that website will come up. And it's going to give you a profile of every child right now that's in the state's custody, that's living in a shelter or in a respite home or at River Park, who needs a mom, who needs a dad, who needs a home. And I would start there before you start, because I have people call me up. Do you have any babies I can adopt? Like, they think I have a line of teenage girls. Yeah, at the back door. But that's not how this works.
That's illegal.
It's also a little bit illegal too. So I encourage everyone to foster and do it for the right reasons, and know that you could get yourself set up for heartbreak. But if you want to look at kids right now that you can adopt right now who are eligible, you don't have to go through the whole abuse neglect case system. Go to that West Virginia Adopt a Child webpage, and it'll give you a profile on each of the kids, their background, their ages. And these are kids that deserve a home, and they deserve to be love just like every one of us. So I encourage everyone that's considering adoption, go that route first, and know that with foster care, it's a very noble calling, and it can be heartbreaking. So just know that you're doing it for the right reasons, to help put a family together, not necessarily to add to your own. I know that's
a message. Do you ever want to take a kid home? Oh, I'm sorry.
Hannah, over the years, there have been so many over the 25 years that I've gotten really, really close to, And there were times where I did consider it in the back of my mind, but I outweighed it with, I was the guardian ad litem in every single case in the county. And I was carrying the caseload of the same as roughly a dozen CPS workers. I had all, like every CPS worker has their own load, but I was the only guardian ad litem. And I had all the same kids that 12 CPS workers had. So it was better for me, rather than to bring one home, to try to concentrate on as representing as many mm-hmm. as I could in the system. So that's why I have two dogs instead.
You're like Oprah. She has her like girl school and she just takes care yeah. of, you know.
Yeah, that. Exactly. Yeah. So I just felt like I was more effective to more kids that way here in Boone County. But yeah, there's off the top of my head, I can think of a half a dozen kids that in a heartbeat I would have so close. You get so attached to these kids. The last day I had here in court, couple of weeks ago, my very last day on the court appointed list, it was hard to let go of several of the kids I grew close to over the last 6 to 7 years that have been in the system for that long. So it was hard to let go of them, and I encouraged all of them, you know, even though I'm not your lawyer, I'm still your buddy, call me anytime. So
yeah, that's like an honorable and hard job, I'm sure. Like, but I know, like, my mom being a teacher and, you know, and seeing kids in the system and seeing kids, like, go, you know, she can see what type, like, when you're with a kid for 8 hours, you can tell what kind of home life they have and, like, the stories she has told. And a lot of times when she did try to do something, if it was, like, abuse, sometimes the mom would just move out of the county or out of the state with that child.
Yeah, I've seen it. But it's gotten to the point where on career day, I've almost had to stop doing career day because the last few times I went to the grade schools and the teachers wanted me to talk to the kids about child abuse and neglect, I had too many kids raising their hands in the classroom wanting to tell their own stories. And I had to stop. And I had to say, now let's wait. And, you know, some of you may have things you want to say, and let's wait till after class if you want to go talk to your counselor, Mrs. So-and-so, or talk to your teacher. But just broaching the topic of abuse, neglect, and drug abuse, too many kids in every class were kind of quick to raise their hand and want to volunteer stories that they've seen of drug use or child abuse. Or,
and it was just like everyday life for them.
Right. So it got to where I'm just not comfortable even with career day now because it ends up with too many, a lot of issues. And I have to tell them, you know, let's save all your stories for after class. You go talk to your teacher.
I thought you were going to say people would be like, oh, as I hit my mic, oh, Mr. Briscoe, Mr. I, like, I know, you know, he's my lawyer. Like,
oh, yeah. You got my pawpaw out of jail. That happened one time. Yeah. So I do get those. Yeah, see, some of those cool. comical.
That's fine, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Or another one, a little girl, I did her adoption. And after I did her adoption, she was about 7 or 8 years old. And we have what's here in Madison. It's the Coal Festival every June. And when I was in the Lions Club, I got drafted to paint little kids' faces. Well, sure enough, here comes this little 7-year-old girl whose adoption I had just done. So she plopped down in the chair and I painted her face. And then she wanders off into the crowd. Well, her mom comes back to find me later. She had to tell me, I just had to tell you that someone asked Kayla, who painted your face? And she goes, my lawyer. Which got a real bizarre response. You know, like, what? Your lawyer? Well, like, you're 7.
Maybe I'll be her lawyer someday in a good way.
Yeah. And why is your lawyer painting your face? So.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. And sure. I'm excited thank for your you. Book to come out. And
yeah, this has been fun. I'll be happy to come back. You guys can help me out with the whole the book tour thing.
Yeah. So it comes out in September?
It's going to be in the fall. I don't have a narrowed down date yet. I'm still waiting to hear from the publisher. And then we have to publish. I saw a few mistakes that still need to be edited from the last proof that I saw. So we're working on it.
Well, that's
so exciting. I'll give you a shout out when I know a date.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And make sure that you share the episode. And
sure. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you so much.
It was nice to meet you, Rachel.
Nice to meet you.
This seems like a great time to pause and tell everyone to subscribe so they will be notified of our next episode. It isn't like you have anything else to do, right?
Exactly.
Make sure to like us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Stay healthy, everyone, and now back to our show.
Hannah, what did you think about this episode?
Well, people are probably sick and tired of me saying that I'm partial to someone from West Virginia, but like he's a person that was a part of my community growing up. You know, he lives close to where my parents live. They can see his house. And then also he owned Dairy Queen that we, you know, would frequent when I was a child, even though now I'm lactose intolerant. And it was actually the new lattes that I loved so much and realized that I thought I had food poisoning. And it was really because I'm lactose intolerant. Yeah. But anyway, so, but I think it's honorable the job that he had in Boone County, and he helped so many children, you know, in the foster system or just being abused and things like that. And now I'm really happy that he gets to do his dream job and that he's publishing, you know, the book of all his, you know, law tips. It's just really awesome the things that he has accomplished and just all the good that he has done for the community and all the kids, and that the kids are just, you know, I thought about the story of him painting the little girl's face, and they're like, "Who painted your face?" And she's like, "My lawyer." And I just, you know, I think it's so funny. And like, I know that he's really left like a really, you know, like a mark on those kids and like just been a great influence. And I was really excited to hear him talk. And I can't wait until his book comes out because he really has some really funny law tips, even though they are true, and it's kind of like almost unbelievable how true they are. But what did you think about this episode?
I absolutely loved it. I love stuff like this, so I find it so interesting, and it really just the law tips was really interesting. But what I loved about it was that he how he started was, you know, in like a negative way, but in a way like it turned into beauty and like it was hardships and stuff. But then like now he gets to do something else where you're having this adoption too. So it's like he gets two sides of the coin, and both like, you know, have, like I said, those hardships, but both have like a person like him that's helping and caring. That's who you need, especially, you know, with these difficult situations. And also, you know, having those tips too, and having also, not that you're making light of it, but having those tips and kind of, you know, being like, oh my gosh, this is so silly. Tell them this. It's like kind of like reels people in because you're bringing a little comedy and common sense in there, but also have it in teaching lessons. So I just love the mix of him, and just, I just think it's wonderful. Honestly, I truly find him inspiring, and I am just so glad that he's on a career path that is making him happy, and he's bringing people together and families, and especially having children find good homes. So I think it's wonderful.
Yeah. So next week, we hope you guys tune in. We interview, we've not interviewed her yet, but in just a couple of minutes, we're going to interview Crystal Good, and the episode will come out next week. And she is the founder of Black by God, and that's how I feel like we have to say it. And you'll find out next week why.
What I'd Like to Tell People is an independent podcast recorded and edited by us, Rachel and
Hannah. Our theme song is written and recorded by Sean Price.
Please like us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube.
Make sure to subscribe to our show so you can receive the latest episode. Also, rate and review our episodes so we can receive more listeners.
Go to our website, www.whatidliketotellpeople.com. Find the link and more information in the episode notes.
Until next week.
And this was What I'd Like to Tell.